Her husband of 39 years, a passionate, entrepreneurial, honest, faithful, charming thinker and achiever, was no longer himself. And so her vagina became off limits to him at the same time the backyard went feral. Next to the exercise equipment were three bikes last ridden 12 years ago. The blue one belonged to Claudia, Gayla's firstborn. The pink one was Olivia's, her second daughter and mother of the twins. And the red one with the basket was Patricia's, the youngest of the three. To one side of the bikes, a file cabinet, which Oscar kept under lock and key, acted as a partition wall. Its top drawer contained folders and more folders filled with love letters, postmarked in the 70s by the Mexican and the U.S. Postal Services, organized chronologically. The second and third drawers stored tax returns going 10 years back, just in case. The birth and marriage certificates of Oscar, Kayla, and their three daughters, school diplomas and special papers and projects, old insurance policies, and anything else from the past that might be needed in the future. Kept in an acid-free envelope was Kayla's U.S. certificate of naturalization, along with an American flag no longer than a handkerchief, and a welcome letter signed in facsimile by President Reagan. In the bottom drawer, the original grant deed of the family home in Rancho Verde, owned free and clear since day one, had developed a slight, musty smell caused by the humidity that seeped from a slowly leaking pipe below. Next to the cabinet, an artificial Christmas tree, divided into four sections carefully wrapped in heavy-duty trash bags for protection from dust and vermin, was leaning against three large suitcases from the pre-wheels era. Two of them were packed with ornaments and lights and fireplace stockings and a nativity complete with the Holy Family, shepherds, sheep, an angel, and the three wise men mounted on their elephant, camel, and horse, respectively. The third suitcase contained a menorah, a box of candles, honey jars, Seder plates, and other celebratory Judaica. To the side of the door, in the most accessible area, were the earthquake survival kit with enough emergency supplies for the entire family and the fire evacuation suitcases ready to go at a moment's notice.
"Be prepared, always prepared,"
Oscar would often tell his wife and children. Kayla, now a bit annoyed, called out to her granddaughters again. They were elsewhere, definitely. It was 6:53 p.m. Her next stop was her art studio, adjacent to the detached garage. The door, featuring a colorful mezuzah attached to its frame, was ajar, so the girls could well have wandered in, even though they'd been instructed not to. The place wasn't large. A turntable, a stool, a work table, a toolbox, a gas kiln, and various buckets of different sizes and colors with dry and hardened glazes, slips, and clay were spread around haphazardly, making the room seem even smaller. At the far end was a shelf with several boxes marked with art piece titles and dates, but the absence of new work was evident, and more so to Kayla, who ran her hands over the smooth surface of the empty table and sighed. She had stopped creating her coveted stoneware sculptures of nude couples for the Brick and Spiegel Gallery in Mexico City as part of her crossed legs strike, a protest against Oscar's apathy. She missed the feeling of her fingers squeezing the malleable clay into bodies that burned with desire. Her last series conveyed the opposite, lack of interest. The girls were obviously not in the studio, so she continued her search in the house. After making a stop in the kitchen to leave the pizza on the counter, Kayla went upstairs to the bedroom that had once been Olivia's, the twins' mom. Two pink blankies were tossed on the unmade bed where the girls had taken a nap that afternoon. The winter sun had set a while ago, but the moon was bright among gray clouds and offered Kayla enough light for a quick search behind the couch, in the closet, under the bed. She wondered why she had agreed to babysit the twins again, after the last scare, when Andrea had put a pinto bean up her nostril and she'd had to pull it out with a pair of tweezers. The toddler...